Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You big dummy.
That's right, you big dummy. If you haven't taken advantage of the Cash for Clunkers program, the program ends tonight at about 8 p.m., $3 billion. Got people back in the auto dealerships and buying cars during the recession, but poof, that money is up in smoke. How are dealers and big automakers going to get people to come in and buy cars without a $4,500 incentive like this? It seems to me we've gotten an interesting sort of snapshot of the auto industry and of the demand out there, pent up or otherwise. Bill Undereiner joins us now, owner of Undereiner Motors, an auto dealership in Billings, Montana. Sells Buicks, Volvos, Hondas, and Hyundais. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
And Mark Leneve, Vice President of Sales at General Motors, joins us from Detroit. Mr. Leneve, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
For both of you, the question right now, it seems to me, is what has Cash for Clunkers proven? That there's a zillion people out there who are dying to buy a new car, and if they just had a program like this, they would do it? Or does this represent a group of people who wouldn't ordinarily be the audience for new cars, whether they're General Motors or Hyundai? Mark Leneve, I'll begin with you.
Well, I think it brought a lot of people into the market that normally wouldn't have been in. If you're sitting on one of these vehicles, the car had to be X number of years old, meet the eligibility requirements in terms of, fuel consumption, which means it probably wasn't very good on fuel consumption. And a twist to it was if the program was worth either $3,500 or $4,500, depending on the vehicle, that means that for it to be economically viable at the point of making the deal, the wholesale value of that vehicle as a trade had to be less than that. So these kinds of cars typically are only going to account for about 5% of the transactions that are going on. And I would say during the Cash for Clunkers program, they probably accounted for closer to 35 or 40%. Uh-huh. So you get a tremendous amount of lift off of bringing those customers into the market that otherwise wouldn't have been in.
So, Bill Undereiner, is that what you're seeing as a dealer out there in Billings, Montana, that as Mark Leneve just said, this is basically using a very small traditional market to really lift the entire sales of cars?
Well, I think it is. What I've seen, the customers coming through my door, are people that probably wouldn't have been in the market unless there was this government program. The trades that we have seen have been cars that probably are worth $100 to $500, and they're vehicles that people probably had as their third vehicle, and they find that there's an opportunity to get $4,500 or $3,500 for those cars, and it's a great opportunity for them to have the sale or buy a car that probably they wouldn't.
Huh. So, Mark Leneve, this doesn't go much beyond this program. This isn't a boost that's sustainable in any sense.
It's a boost that, from a standpoint of the lift that we've seen with increased activity of these kinds of vehicles being traded in, we agree that that's going to fall off. However, compared to some other previous big incentive programs, such as when we ran employee discount a few years ago, some of the big zero for 72, and those kind of programs, you'd pull business ahead, and you'd really experience a very severe drop-off when the program ended because you'd have moved business up 1, 2, 3, 4 months. We're not going to see that with this program. This isn't business that was moved ahead. This was a pure lift to the overall vehicle market. And we sold a lot of vehicles off the traffic customers would come in and actually the vehicle wasn't clunker eligible. However, the dealer was said, hey, the wholesale value of this car is $4,000 or $5,000. We can make you a deal on this particular product. And we did a lot of business, we believe, off associated traffic that wasn't directly a clunker deal, but was generated by interest in the clunker program.
Well, must have just been a thrill to see people in the dealerships for the first time in a while. Bill Undereiner, you said two things that I really want to follow up on. First of all, you said people were bringing in cars that were real dogs. Now, were the repair shops working late hours to get some of these things actually drivable so that they could be eligible for the program?
probably a few of them, but not a lot of them. I mean, they were cars that probably people had around that would run because the program stated you had to have a car that ran when it come in the dealership, and we ran each one of them around the block to make sure that was true. A couple of them came in on trailers because they didn't feel that they could get them to the dealership and have them run. But most of them were cars that were just sitting around,
right,
and were drivable.
Well, finally, Bill and Mark, and let me start with you, Bill. If you were going to design a program that would continue the incentive of Clash for Clunkers, what would it be, even though this doesn't seem like it's sustainable? Bill?
Well, I think that you're going to have people coming in, at least I hope in the next few weeks, that missed out on the Clunker program, and that we have the incentives available that we could come close to what it would have been if they would have the Clunker. That's I think, going forward, I think we're still going to see people, and I agree with Mark, this wasn't pulling people forward. This was people that didn't have that had no reason to buy a car unless they had this type of program.
Right.
So I think we're going to see people coming in that we can offer maybe close to what the Clunker deal was.
Mark Leneva, I'll give you the last word here. Why don't you get on the horn and call up your owners there in Washington and design a program that would continue this so that it doesn't just become a flash in the pan?
Well, I think the program's been wildly successful. I have been talking to the Automotive Task Force as well as other folks that we're doing business with in Washington. And obviously, I think of all the stimulus programs that are out there, this one has received a lot of attention. It shows if you put dollars in the hands of the consumer in terms of stimulus, it tends to really work, and hopefully it provides somewhat of a template for future stimulus programs. And yeah, I mean, in the byproduct of all this, obviously, provide a lift to the industry, which I think a piece of it will be sustainable. And it took a lot of old vehicles with a very high level of emissions off the road and replaced them with high mileage, low emission vehicles, which I think was the intent from the beginning. So it looks like a win-win, and hopefully they'll follow up with similar types of programs for not just for our industry, but across several industries to keep the economic activity improving.
All right, Mark. And at $3 billion, it's kind of a bargain compared to bailing out banks, huh? Mark Leneva, Vice President of Sales at General Motors, talking to us from Detroit, and Bill Underwriter, owner of Underwriter Motors in Billings, Montana.